Hey everybody, Chad Wesley Smith here for Juggernaut Training Systems. We'll be continuing our series of content about strength training for jiu-jitsu, strength and performance training for jiu-jitsu. Make sure that you subscribe to the channel, like this video so more people can find it. Today we're going to be talking about creating a phasic structure for our jiu-jitsu performance training. So by a phasic structure, I mean applying the principle of phase potentiation, which is having a phase of training, a time period of training, dedicated to improving a specific quality above all others. They'll still have some omnipresence of all the components, but so that we can raise that specific quality as high as possible and improve the potential, hence the potentiation part of phase potentiation, improve the potential of the subsequent phase of training. So the way that we're going to want to sequence these phases for jiu-jitsu is by energy system. If you're familiar with our work for powerlifting, you know that we go from hypertrophy training to general strength training to peaking. The same idea is going to be applied, but peaking for jiu-jitsu doesn't mean being able to squat, bench, and deadlift as much as you possibly can. It means being the most ready, have the highest specific fitness levels for jiu-jitsu as possible right before the competition. So this is going to be something you can do if you want to sort of set up a training camp type of organization to prepare for a really big tournament. You could work through a sequence of phases like this, moving from less to more specific. So as we focus on our energy systems, what we need to be successful for jiu-jitsu are going to be, of course, the aerobic energy system is going to be omnipresent in the training. Then our eclectic power, how strong, how fast, how powerful can you be for one given instance? And then almost more important than that is our eclectic capacity. How well can you repeat those high output efforts? If being able to, just to give a simple example, being able to power clean 300 pounds is great, but over the course of a 8 or 10 minute jiu-jitsu match, and maybe 4, 5, 6, 7 matches throughout the course of a tournament, if you can only power clean 300 pounds once, you're probably not going to be as successful as someone who could power clean 250 pounds, every 10 seconds for 30 reps or something like that. Again, a bit of a non-specific example, but just so you understand the concept of eclectic capacity. But before you have capacity, we've got to have power, because that person who can power clean 300 pounds one time, again, I'm just not saying that the power clean is some be-all, end-all exercise for jiu-jitsu. It's just a more simple concept to understand. That person who can power clean 300 pounds one time, well, if they use all that power and get a huge takedown on you and finish you right away, it doesn't matter how many times you could do 200 pounds because you never got the opportunity to express that. So you have to be able to develop the power before you have to have something to create a capacity of. You have to have the power and then create capacity of that power. And then finally, our lactic capacity is going to be the most specific to jiu-jitsu, your ability to sustain relatively high level effort for longer durations, whether that's long squeezes or longer scramble sequences, but being able to stay at those high heart rate thresholds and keep up high level effort for a sustained period of time. To make this the most effective, we want to strategically pair our strength training with our energy system work. So the first phase, where we focus on eclectic power, so maximizing speed and power through sprinting, jumping, throwing, explosive exercise in the weight room like Olympic lifts, we're going to complement that with more general strength work to develop work capacity to create the potential for us to do more high quality work in subsequent phases. Then as we move on to eclectic capacity, which is going to be those repeated high level efforts with minimal rest periods between them, we are going to complement that with our maximal strength work in the weight room. And then finally, as we develop our lactic capacity, our ability to sustain relatively high level efforts for 20, 30, 40 seconds at a time, we're going to complement that with more strength speed in the weight room. So lighter weights moving very explosively right before, that's going to be the phase right before competition. Aerobic work is going to be omnipresent throughout all of those phases. So phase one, as we focus on general strength, work capacity in the weight room, and alactic power, developing alactic power as well, so that one all-out effort, how high can you jump, how fast can you sprint, how far can you throw, how much can you lift. That's going to be, we're going to do this through more frequent, less intense training sessions in the weight room, and complement that as well on the mats with more drilling, less live training. If you go back to our video on organizing the week, a lot more low and medium intensity days rather than the high intensity days, which we'll need as we get closer to competition. So sub-maximal weights, jiu-jitsu training that's biased towards more drilling, specific training at controlled intensities. In the weight room, this is going to be doing a lot of work with weights in the 55 to 80% of your one rep max range for sets of 4 to 8 reps. Now, how much volume is going to differ based on a lot of factors, but you're probably going to fall between about 24 total reps to 100 total reps weekly for each primary movement. And primary movements, we're talking about squat variation, upper body pressing, upper body pulling, hip hinge, hip extension, and probably dividing those reps over 1 to 3 sessions each week. You know, what the differences in volume and intensity are going to be based on is, of course, how many reps you're doing, what exercise you're doing, and then some individual differences for you of age, strength, height, weight, experience level in the weight room. So some general guidelines are going to be that upper body lifts can generally handle more volume at relatively higher intensities than the lower body lifts. Your injury history is going to influence this as well. So I understand that your injury history may cause you to not be able to tolerate quite as much volume as if you were totally healthy. The stronger and more experienced lifter you are, you're going to be able to tend towards the lower end of that percentage range because you're actually lifting at closer to like what we call your career peak, the absolute most weight you could ever lift. Because you're more experienced, your recruiting muscle fiber is better, you're more efficient in your neural wiring is more efficient to allow you to lift more weight, and each rep that you do is more going to be more stimulating and more a little bit more fatiguing than someone who's less experienced. Implementing controlled rest periods in the weight room during this phase is going to be a simple way for you to build up some capacity as well, one of the primary goals of this phase of training. And then we're going to want to keep our accessory work mostly in the 12 to 20 rep range to support hypertrophy, joint health, and local muscular endurance, which is going to be very significant to success in jiu-jitsu, muscular endurance in the hands, forearms, shoulders, as well as the legs, hamstrings, low back. The other component of this phase is developing alactic power. Alactic power is, again, how high of an output can you create? How fast can you move for one single effort? And some of the most explosive exercises we can do to develop that also don't require much, if any, equipment or a lot of special technical training, because you're trying to be the best jiu-jitsu competitor. You can be not, the best weightlifter that you can be. You're going to be sprinting, jumping, and throwing. So sprints, 50 to 100 meters of total volume spread over 1 to 2 sessions a week will be sufficient for you. I understand sprinting is not really a component of jiu-jitsu, so we don't need to do very much volume there compared to what like a football player or a soccer player would do. And then for every 10 meters of sprinting you do, you want to rest for about 30 seconds. So you do a 20-meter sprint, you're going to rest 1 minute before you do the next sprint, because this alactic power training is all about quality of work. Also going to be a good option for you to maybe do your sprinting either dragging a sled or running uphill or upstairs. That's going to mitigate the risk of soft tissue injury to the hamstring or quads, especially if you're someone who doesn't have any formal sprint training. And I've worked, again, with some of the best jiu-jitsu competitors in the world and seen them sprint, and they were definitely not people who had very much formal sprint training. And that kind of bad sprinting technique increases the risk of a pulled hamstring or something like that. But running with a sled or running uphill will help mitigate that risk. Jumps. These are going to be a really good option. Simple to learn. There's no way that you can jump slow, so it's going to help you develop speed, explosive power, improve your takedowns, all of that. 20 to 60 contacts per week spread over 2 to 3 sessions. That can be jumping up onto a box or upstairs. Both of those options are going to reduce the force of the landing on your joints rather than just jumping straight up into the air, because let's say you jump 2 feet straight up in the air, you have 2 feet to fall back to the ground. That's going to increase the force on your ankles and knees, where if you jump up onto a 2-foot-high box, you don't really fall onto the top of that box at all, so the forces of the landing are much less impactful. And jumps for distance, going out as far as you can, will have a little bit higher transference to your ability to shoot in for takedowns. Finally, throws, like throwing a medicine ball or, you know, any kind of like a shot put or something, just throwing a weight. It's going to be great for building power in multiple directions, very low stress on the joints. They're easy to learn. Doing 50 to 100 total throws per week spread over 1 to 2 sessions will be sufficient for you. And make sure that the speed of the throw is what is emphasized. So throwing whatever you're throwing, let's say a medicine ball, throwing it as far as possible with a little bit lighter ball, like a 3 to 5 kilo ball, is going to be more important in this phase than trying to use as heavy of a ball as possible and it not really being an explosive, fast movement anymore. So now we're moving on to the second phase of our training. This is where we're going to focus on alactic capacity, so the ability to repeat those high-level efforts that we developed in phase one when we were doing our alactic power training. Now we're going to be focusing on repeating them over and over, trying to keep them as high-level as possible without degradation of speed and quality of movement, and then focusing a little bit more on maximal strength in the weight room after we built up a little bit of hypertrophy and general strength in our first phase. This is going to mean that we're going to have to undulate our sessions throughout the week a bit more. So in phase one, we had mostly medium to low intensity sessions with really high frequency. Now we're going to be introducing some high intensity sessions to allow for more weight to be lifted and also more recovery to be built in to the structure of the week. Make sure you refer back to our Organizing the BJJ Training Week video for more information about that. Your work on the mats is going to be intensifying as well, introducing a little bit more live training, a little bit more specific training. So having a couple days of the week that are high intensity sessions on the mat and consolidating our stressors to those same days. So more pairing high intensity weight room work and high intensity jiu-jitsu work to the same days to facilitate more recovery throughout on the lower intensity days of the week. In the weight room, we're now going to be focusing on our primary exercises being done at 70 to 90% intensity for sets of 2 to 4 reps. Looking at doing 12 to 48 reps weekly for each primary movement spread over 1 to 2 sessions. And the same ideas from the first phase are gonna apply, that upper body lifts can tolerate a little bit higher volume than lower body lifts. So for your primary pressing and pulling exercises, you're maybe going to be more in the 36 to 48 reps weekly, while your squatting and hip hinge, hip extension exercises are going to be more down in those 12 to 24 reps weekly. Again, the intensity that you use will be considered as well. If you're at the top end of that intensity range of 85-90%, you're not going to do 48 reps in a week with 85 to 90% of your squat max. When you're up at those high intensity ranges, that's when you're going to get down to the low end of the volume range, 12 to 18 total reps throughout the week. How strong you are is also going to dictate that: age, injury history, time, a lot of factors to consider there. And now we're going to move your accessory work, so smaller single joint type of movements, down to the 8 to 12 rep range, and that's still going to support hypertrophy. We, of course, don't want to be losing muscle as we go into a tournament, and doing some of that smaller single joint movement is going to help support joint health, making sure that we're getting blood pumping through elbows, shoulders, through full ranges of motion, keeping you healthy. For our energy system based work, we're now focused on alactic capacity. So in phase one, we developed alactic power So, you know, single all-out effort sprint with full recovery. Now we want to create capacity of that. So now we're going to be doing, you know, multiple sprints with incomplete recovery and trying to keep them all as high an effort level as possible. This is when we can begin to implement special strength exercises. So these are movements that mimic the direction, duration, and velocity of the sporting movement. That they use the same muscles with the same energy systems as you would use in jiu-jitsu, but we're overloading them in some way. Movements that I like to include for alactic capacity work are jumping variations, throwing variations, twisting exercises, explosive pulling movements, and then a really important component of jiu-jitsu strength, like being a strong jiu-jitsu competitor, is isometric strength. There's, you know, big components of isometric strength on display in a typical jiu-jitsu match, where you're holding that position, you know, squeezing for as long as you can, and you're not really moving, so it's not concentric or eccentric strength, but it's holding that static position as well as you can. So some examples that I like of these for jumps: kettlebell squat jump, and when I say jumps, I'm referring to both lower body and upper body jumping. Upper body jumping would be something like clapping push-up, jumping, you know, doing an explosive push-up where you land on boxes, or even something like a med ball chest pass where you're rebounding it against the wall. Throws could be med ball slams, med ball rocket throw, just throwing as high as you can, or scoop throw, throwing it as far as you can or into against a wall from an underhand throw. Something to consider with these exercises too is we need to be able to get several reps in a short time period, focusing on that 3 to 6 seconds of work, doing as much explosive work as we can in that short time period, and then following that up with a small rest period. Twisting exercises, your rotational strength is going to be very significant in jiu-jitsu, especially on the feet to execute judo throws. So the barbell twist, med ball side-to-side slams, band-resisted judo throws are all good options there. Explosive pulling strength is big for guard passing, for controlling your opponent's posture. So kettlebell or dumbbell drop rows, one-arm rope rows, clapping pull-ups, all good options there. For the isometric strength, I like a deadlift isometric or a bench press isometric, where you're pulling or pressing the bar against the rack with maximal force. And then some other exercises that you can fit in here: kettlebell or dumbbell snatches, band-resisted kettlebell swings, because that's going to increase the speed of the movement, allow you to get more reps in that short time frame. Sandbag shouldering can be a good exercise. But really what we're looking for are 3 to 6 seconds of maximal effort with 10 to 20 seconds of rest. And you're going to perform 4 to 12 sets per exercise, like 4 to 8 exercises total. And the number of sets you're performing, the number of total exercises you're performing, should be influenced by your fitness levels, of course, but also how long of matches you need to be ready for. If you're getting ready for a 5-minute match, you probably don't need to do as much alactic capacity as someone who's getting ready for 10-minute matches. And then to time these, you can just get an interval timer app on your phone or your computer. The way that I set that up is I'll usually set a short interval for 6 seconds, and then the long interval for, you know, maybe 10 or 12 seconds. And say I'm gonna do 6 sets of kettlebell squat jumps. That 18 second just keeps running over and over. Or you can just set, you know, a 15 second timer and do a set amount of reps. Like I'm gonna do 3 reps as fast as I can, and then I rest the remainder of the 15 seconds. The bell rings again, I go again, and I perform my number of sets there. Rest 1 to 2 minutes before moving on to the next exercise. In phase 3, this is going to be our final phase before competition, so it's going to be our most specific work. Now in the weight room, we're focused on developing strength speed, so moving sub-maximal weights as fast and explosively as possible, and then our energy system work is going to be lactic threshold training, so how well can we sustain a relatively high effort for extended durations of time. So these sessions are going to be very taxing, so they're going to be less frequent. And because you're closest to competition, now is when we have to prioritize the most live training in your jiu-jitsu training, which is also the highest intensity stressors, and you can't do that all, you know, every day at a really high intensity. So this is where we're going to be consolidating. There may be, you know, 3, possibly 4 very high intensity days throughout the week, and the other days dedicated to recovery work. So more, you know, drilling, jiu-jitsu, low intensity aerobic work, small accessory weights, but employing this high-low concept, consolidation of stressors, putting our highest intensity stressors on the same days. In the weight room, we're going to be focused on training with weights of 60 to 85% of our one rep max for sets of 1 to 3 reps and 6 to 30 reps total of our primary movements. So again, lower body movements, squat and deadlift variations, Olympic lifting variations are going to fall to the lower end of those rep ranges, upper body movements to the higher end of the rep ranges. And as you get to the higher percentage ranges, the total number of reps you perform will be lower. And it's probably going to be done over 1 or 2 weekly sessions in the weight room. Our accessory work is going to be kept to 6 to 10 reps per set. And that's just going to be to maintain your muscle, maintain your hypertrophy as you go into competition. Now, our lactic capacity training, this is going to be our most specific energy system work, is going to be using similar special strength exercises as we used in alactic capacity, but now instead of doing them for 3 to 6 second efforts with 10 to 20 seconds of rest, now we're going to be needing to take them out to 20 to 40 seconds of continuous effort, you know, keeping as high a level as possible, and then following that up with 20 to 40 seconds of rest. And that could end up being active rest depending on how fit you are. When choosing exercises for lactic capacity training, it's important that they are efforts or exercises that lend themselves to more of a cyclical effort. It's tough to do, you know, while you can use a medicine ball throw or like a medicine ball throw for height or distance during your alactic power phase and maybe even your alactic capacity phase, if you have to throw and then run after the ball and you can only get 5 or 6 throws done in 30 seconds because you're always just chasing after the ball, that's not a very good exercise for lactic capacity where we want continuous sustained effort. So things like box jumps, barbell twists are good options. The isometrics can be good options. In general, it's going to be a little bit lower intensity efforts because you're having to sustain them for so much longer. When organizing your lactic capacity work, I would let your competition length, so how long are your matches in a tournament, dictate how that gets set up. So if you have 6-minute matches, you're at blue belt adult division, you have a 6-minute match, I'd probably choose 6 exercises and do them for, you know, maybe the first week, 20 seconds on, 40 seconds off. Next week, 30 on, 30 off. Third week, 40 on, 20 off. And that's going to be a 6-minute circuit. And then rest for, you know, probably 6 to 10 minutes. Because these are going to be very, very challenging. And repeat, you know, 2, 3, maybe 4 times at most. The last piece of creating this phasic structure for jiu-jitsu training is going to be determining the phase length. The first thing that you need to do to determine how long any of these phases are going to last is look at the competition calendar. You know, if you have 6 weeks before competition, that's going to be much different. You know, you're probably not going to do much of that first phase because it's the most general phase. So you might maybe a 1 week phase one and then 2 or 3 weeks of phase two and 2 or 3 weeks of phase three versus someone who has 12 or 15 weeks to get ready for competition. The next thing to consider is going to be the athlete's needs. If you have someone who's already, you know, very strong or very muscular, you could manipulate those first two phases based on that. Or someone who has great endurance and lactic capacity already, they might not need a very long phase three. In general, these phases should last between 1 and 4 weeks, and you can deload after a 2 to 4 week phase. And that deload is going to be about 60 to 70% of the volume of work you did in the previous week at about 80 to 90% intensity. So let me know what questions you have in the comments. Hopefully this is giving you an idea of how to better, you know, strategically organize both your jiu-jitsu and strength and conditioning training to maximize your performance in tournaments, the place where you want your jiu-jitsu to be the best, where you want to be your strongest, fastest, most endurant, in your best shape, ready to go win gold. Thanks for watching. Make sure to subscribe to the channel and like the video. See you next time.